know, God asks us to come to him just as we are. And there's a great beauty in that. We can come to God. We can come to Jesus just as we are. We can pray at any time, anywhere, just as we are. We can pray. It's important. So I want to begin by asking you a very basic question. Is your life on solid ground, or is it more like shifting sand? Solid ground, shifting sand. How firm are our foundations? And that begs the question, do we need foundation repair? You know, they advertise that all the time on the radio. Do we need foundation repair? Yes, we do. We do. I'd like to suggest that part of that repair comes with three very, very important pillars. I like a three-legged stool. You can have a firm foundation with a three-legged stool. It's called a Trinity. That's one way of looking at it. Another is daily prayer, an important leg, an important pillar. Daily prayer, daily time with the Lord. Another is being in God's Word, meditation upon the Scriptures daily, each day. And then, third one, the Holy Spirit resides within us. Tap into it. Allow the presence of God, of Christ, to live within us and to flow through us in all that we do. Prayer, Bible, Holy Spirit. We have not been abandoned. We've not been left by ourselves. God cares for us and always will. It's important that we remember how significant it is to take time with God. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, or actually chapter 14, and we're going to take a look at verses 22 and 23. Now these verses, when you look at them, don't say a whole lot immediately. But you got to remember what comes before and what comes after. Before these verses, Jesus has just performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men, and also including children and women. So we don't know how large the crowd was, but it was a big crowd. And they were all fed. Would that take a lot out of you, you think, if you were part of that? Yeah, it would. And then his next action is going to be to walk on water. Here again, big events. But in between, Jesus does something very significant that we can model, that we can actually do as Jesus did and understand why Jesus did it. So look at verses in chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Jesus doesn't waste any time. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. So they've done this feeding of the 5,000. He's already on to the what? Next thing. You guys, come on ahead. And they did. While he dismissed the crowds. So he sends them off, helps everybody else get home or wherever they had come from. Who's he left with? Himself. That's pretty smart, isn't it? He's got some alone time. And what does he do? After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. So in the midst of all of those activities, Jesus knew it was important to be alone with God. When we got so much going on in our life that we do not know what to do or which way to turn, what might help? Some alone time with God. Do we choose that? No, oftentimes we're so busy we can't think about God. God, I'll get to you later. But that alone time with God, it was important to him. It was a way of having a one-on-one with the Lord. We have those dark nights of the soul sometimes, don't we? You know what I mean? Yeah, I see some head shaking. We have those nights. We look forward to that sunrise. We don't know what that night's going to bring. But we can be with God through the whole thing. God's with us. But do we recognize that he's there? Being with God, taking time to pray and to listen for what God has to say. Jesus took time to pray. This was a number one priority to him. If you read through the rest of the Gospels, you will see quite often Jesus is getting off alone to be with God. It was important for him. It was important for his daily life. It was important that he could fulfill his mission. If it was important for Jesus, what do you think about us? Could it be important for us? Yes, it could. It could help us a lot if we will do it. Now, if we go look at the statistics and all the polls about how daily Bible reading and daily prayer, they're low. They're low. We all have Bibles, but you got to what? Study it and read it. We all can pray. We don't have to be expert prayers. God just wants to hear from us. Talk to him. Pray. So Jesus did that. I was thinking, you know, if you're an investor, you're looking at the risk-reward ratio. It's not how much you can make, it's make sure you don't lose much. You know, we get it backwards. We think about how much we can make and that kind of thing. I got to thinking, I wonder what the prayer worry ratio would be for each one of us. Now, my mama was a great prayer, but she was an excellent warrior. I mean, we're good at that. We can pray and we can worry. So what's the ratio? I like another ratio. Prayer and peace. Prayer and peace. Peace. Now, right now on this road, it's peaceful. Is it going to be like this all day on this road? No. You try to leave when we're over, and you're going to find out. Peace. Peace. Now, another thing. So we want to take time to pray. If Jesus took time to pray and speak with God, maybe we want to do the same. Second, God does hear our prayers. But we must be willing to humble ourselves. Now, do any of us here have any problems with pride? Pride? Yeah, you know that thing, pride. Humility, coming before God in a humble spirit. If you would, take your Bible again. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Very, very familiar passage. Look at 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 16. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. That's good news to Solomon, the building of that temple and the location. If I shut the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people. Now, that sounds a little different, doesn't it? After all that good news. And my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. My eyes will now be open and my ears attentive to prayer from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. Humility. Coming before God in humility. He will hear our prayers. That's a promise. He hears us. He will forgive our sins. But we have to at least acknowledge that we're what? Sinning. He will heal our land or our surroundings. We like healing, don't we? You know, these kids, I get real tickled with them. And I can only speak for the three that I see a lot. Well, actually, for the five that I see a lot, and I know yours, it will come in the same category. You get hurt and you cry. What makes it feel better? If mom or dad are around, that hug helps. But if you got a Band-Aid, they're right. The Band-Aid makes the difference. It's bleeding. I'm looking, where? Where? But it hurts. Band-Aid. Kids like Band-Aids, and so do we. We like that Band-Aid. But you know, God is saying, humble yourself before me, and I will give you real healing. Real healing. I will give you that abundant life. But we have to be in communion with God. And something else. Talking with God is not like going to the store with a grocery list. You know what I mean? God, I want this. God, I want this. God, do this. God, do that. Rather than asking what? God, what may I do for you? How might you work in my life? How might you lift me out of this pit that I found myself in? See, it's not about us when we pray. It's about God and what God will do in and through us to further his kingdom. That's why the humility is needed. Then, if you have your Bible, turn to James. Chapter 5. This passage is very, very important to me. Personal reasons. Now, I'm going to bring up something that is real old, old school. Y'all remember Youth Day in churches? Y'all remember that? Where the youth would come in and they would... Some of them, they would be the ushers, you know. They would take the collection. Some of them would sing in the choir. You might have somebody that would lead the choir. And in the Sunday schools, you would have some of the youth would actually go in and teach the Sunday school lesson in the classes and stuff like that. And then you might have somebody that would actually preach that Sunday. You don't see that much anymore. But you know something? We got some little missionaries right there on that front row. And they share a lot of love, joy, and heartache too. They have hurts too. They have hurts too. And that's why we gathered around them this morning. It's important. Want them to know this is your church. We're going to do our best to stand by you. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because I'm kind of wandering here a little bit, is that one Sunday years and years ago, because I'm not a spring chicken anymore, I was in youth day. And the first time I ever tried to teach a Sunday school class, I think I was like 13 or 14, something like that. But the text was James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And so these verses have always been important to me. I remember them. I go back every time, and I can still see my mama working with me, because she was a Sunday school teacher, and she was working with me on this. And so I looked at this thing, I read it. She wanted me to go over it so that I didn't go too long. Stuff like a Baptist, you can't go long. She worked with me on that. But I've always remembered it. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of get away from this particular set of verses, but there's a lot of healing and a lot of help in these verses. So let's listen. Chapter 5, James, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Don't even have to look out, do I? We know that. If anyone is among you suffering, he should pray. Is that our first response when we're suffering? Sometimes. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. How many of you came in this door singing this morning? I'm going to stand out there one day and just see out of curiosity. I have to admit, I had a bunch of things in my hand when I came in this door. I was interested in one thing. How can I hold all this stuff and open that door? That was my concern. I'm on singing. I was trying to figure this thing out. They should sing. Is anyone among you sick? You should call on the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We do pray. We do pray. We are a praying church. We have the emails that go out. And we're committing to this 100 days of prayer. So we pray. Let's allow it to transform us, who we are. And then it goes on, anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. Confess your sins one to another and pray one to another so that you may be healed. And this is the part that always stuck with me. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Or some of you may remember the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. You may remember it that way. But what it's telling you is prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. It's real. But it's on God's timeline, not ours. It's on God's timeline. And God will answer in his own way. Can we discern it? Can we understand it? Can we accept it? But God will answer. And in this prayer of righteous people availeth much. Talk about prayer moving mountains. If we as a congregation will pray for those children and their parents and other children and parents that we know, and we will do that for 100 days, do you think it'll make a difference in their life? I know it'll make a difference in their life. That's a powerful thing. That's that power of prayer availeth much. And we have an opportunity to actually put it in action. And I'm praying that we will take these next 100 days and seriously commit to praying for these children and families that we know. A huge, massive prayer chain. And we'll put this out on the internet so that others can see it. Prayer works. Yeah, the Romans thought they were going to stamp out Christianity. Guess what? We're still here. And there's a reason we're still here. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Jessica and Pastor Phil if he'll come over here. And if I don't have enough, we'll run off some more. Please, each one of you, take one of these sheets. Now, I didn't come up with this. I borrowed it from the writer of Twists and Turns. You know, this was the devotional for this year's Bible school. And I've looked at this thing, and this thing is really powerful. Now, I'm going to tell you something else as well. So I'm going to set these out here while I'm thinking about it. We have some extras. So if you know somebody that's got children and can benefit from this, please come up here at the end of the service and take one of these. And don't mind coming up. Take one and get it to them and bless them with it. What I like about these devotionals is that it gives you the devotion. I like this one, joining the team. That's like being a disciple. Joining the team. Then it gives you the little story. And then it gives you an activity that you can do. And then it has a prayer. And some of these are pretty cool. You got decoding things, you got mystery mazes and all this kind of stuff. So if some of y'all want it, grab it too. I mean, it's good. See, let's play. So, I mean, you can all kind of things you can do. Hey, yeah, I got your interest now, right? You want one of these. But I want to do something a little different this time. You'll notice you've got the passage from 2 Chronicles to kind of be before us as we pray. And I've listed the names of everybody that was here this morning. Now, I know there are many more in the church. And that's why I'm saying take some of these. And you'll notice that you have a lot of space out here beside each one. I didn't double column this on purpose. Put somebody's name there each day. It could be the whole family. It could be a mother. It could be a father. It could be a child. And they don't have to be on this list, but we do want to pray for each one of our children that are coming regularly. And there are more. Write it down. Put the names there. Pray over them. I'm really serious. Pray over them. The world in which we live is so dangerous. There's a lot of bad things that happen. I mean, it's always been kind of hard growing up, but sometimes it's a little more difficult than others, and you have real challenges. So as we go through these twists and these turns, read the Bible verse, look at the title, meditate on the title, and then seriously place these children and these parents and those that you know, place them before you and talk to God and ask for God's guidance and blessings on them, and whatever help God open the door to your life so that whatever you can do for another child or parent, you will do it. Does that sound like a challenge worth taking? Can I get an amen on that one? Can I get a really good amen on that one? Amen. Amen. See, that's worth doing. That's worth doing. So, let's pray. Let's pray as a community and as individuals, because we know that God's prayer is powerful. Now, at this point in the service, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we give you the opportunity to come forward. We also know that many of you are listening online and will listen later on the podcast. You can accept Jesus Christ right where you are. Allow him to come into your heart. If you want to rededicate your life, you can do that here. You can do that where you are. If you want to be a part of this church, come forward. We would love to have you as a member. If you're at home and you want to know more about us, get in touch with us. But realize we love you. It's a great place to serve, and God knows your heart. Open your heart to him as we have our invitation hymn. Jessica.